Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Ed Stetzer.
You know, you didn't change the words, but it felt different that time, the way you sort of emphasized the word, the church planting resource, help you thrive. It was like, I liked it, a little diversity in its verbal expression. I like that.
All right. Okay. I'm not going to entertain that. So, you know, if you are just tuning in to today's episode, we are on a little bit of a mini series between Ed and I from episode 561, 563, 565, and then today's 567, where we're continuing the conversation on what are some of the current cultural, theological, and missiological issues that we need to be aware of. Previous episodes, we covered the cultural and theological ones. So today, let's enter into the missiological issues.
Okay. So I would say that we, a couple of things I would say just to kind of in this episode is that, and I should resource as well, there's a helpful article by Ross Douthat of the New York Times, and it's called Waking Up in 2030. And it talks about how 2020 has kind of accelerated cultural trends, and these have missiological implications. And I'd put two big ones. One is the decline of nominalism, which may seem like a strange thing to talk about. The decline of nominalism, but what nominalism is, you know, the significant number of people in the Western world that ultimately, you know, sort of like say they're a Christian, but not they're a Christian, not what we would consider as evangelicals, Christian, someone who's been born again by the power of the gospel. So in the US, it's a high 60s, say they're Christian, and Canada, it's a little lower, but not by much. And so what you have there then is a whole lot of people who say they're Christians, but in our view, they need to hear the gospel, respond by grace and through faith. They need to, you know, and part of, and it's kind of weird to outsiders because we kind of like convince them they're not a Christian so they can become a Christian. but it seems a little strange. But the point is that most of our evangelism in the U.S. and Canada for the last few decades has been reaching nominal Christians, people who call themselves Christians, but would not, you know, be born again in the sense that we would use that term. So for us then, you know, this decline, this is the fastest, it's still the largest category, but it's the fastest shrinking category. People are either becoming more secular or people are becoming, you know, in some cases, you know, more spiritually engaged. So our focus, or if you will, our target that has been focused on evangelism is sort of going away. And now you're getting more secular people who are more resistant to the gospel, or people of other faiths or no faith, that kind of stuff. So I think it's interesting time because the death of nominalism does lead us to some significant questions moving forward.
So that's fascinating. I just remember the times. So when I was living in Nashville and serving as a teaching pastor there, I totally get that, right? I totally get that because, there was definitely that sense of, you know, wait, all my neighbors are Christian? Wait, how many people here are Christian?
Yeah, but let me push back because you seem to, by saying that, you're thinking that that's not the case in Canada because the majority of Canadians say that they're Christians.
I don't know about that. I mean, yeah, that not necessarily with where I'm at and where I've pastored here in Canada. So it was definitely, I mean, there's definitely a stark difference in Nashville compared to
there's no question is a much higher percentage of people, but you know, I think you know, you're in the mid to high 60s of percentage of Canadians who say that they're Christians. Now that's a declining percentage, but I think ultimately we want to acknowledge, let me see, I'm actually looking up right now, so it's actually in the 50s. So now it's going to be different. You know, Alberta is going to be more, you know, religious than Atlantic Canada or wherever else it may be. But still, the largest focus group that Canadian Christians are probably reaching are nominal Christians. No?
So going back to what you said earlier, then you said that this is who we've predominantly been reaching. How does this shift affect the way that we preach and do ministry then?
Well, I think part of it, I mean, the whole secular world increasingly requires us not to make pre-assumed, you know, or you know, a priori assumptions that, you know, you remember Moses and the story of Moses. Well, yeah, no, probably they don't, unless they saw, you know, with the cartoon, you know, version and where Moses and Ramses have a chariot race. But, you know, I think ultimately it impacts our preaching. You know, Keller writes a lot about this preaching, you know, preaching and teaching in a secular age does require us to not begin with certain assumptions and to also begin to address some questions that people would have, questions that, you know, we might just say that the Bible says this, therefore we believe it. But people are like, but why and how does this relate to where I live? So I do think it has a significant impact in the way we preach. I'm particularly concerned, though, that it has a way impact in the way we share the gospel, because this is where apologetics have become more important. Because, you know, when I became a Christian, I mean, I sort of knew there was a God out there. I just didn't think we could know him. And he wrote a book. I just didn't think we could understand it. And so someone shared the gospel with me. And I was, you know, I had enough background that, you know, if you show me that in the Bible, which I believe to be a holy book, as my upbringing on Long Island taught me, and that there's a God, and yet I could know him, and the Bible explains how and why, I could receive that. Now, there's a whole different kind of generation that doesn't have those beginning points or those connection points that I have.
Yeah. And then so it's interesting, right? Because the dilemma for a local church pastor is obviously there's the congregation that you have, and there are different opinions on what the diet should look like or be like. And there's that aspect. And then you just have this whole sense of that seeker sensitive movement, right? Where it was like, okay, who is that really did change the focus of the preaching and the role of the weekends in evangelism and in all of that. So what advice would you give our church planters and campus pastors and pastors listening in, you know, in terms of, okay, who should that focus be? Like, who should we preach to? And then we can talk about what evangelism looks like and some of the assumptions and stuff that we need to be aware of. But I'm just curious, from that week in, week out perspective, do we need to change who we're preaching to then?
You know, I think, well, that's a fair question, and people debate this. And what I would be, you know, because people will be listening from different traditions, and some people say churches for Christians. And, you know, I'm kind of the view that we want to be ready for company, listening in, and more. So what I would say is, I still think that we need to provide what I've called in other places on-ramps to people who are listening in, who are not people of faith, who maybe need to understand you know, more about this passage or this practice or whatever else it may be. So what I would say is, you can assume that those people are further away from their understanding than maybe you could 20, 30 years ago. You know, I think ultimately too, the seeker movements is, you know, it's kind of waned. And one of the ways that it's waned is because, you know, the strangeness of the gospel probably just can't be overcome in a way that maybe 20, 30 years ago, or, you know, 30, 40 years ago, you know, people, again, had this assumption of the authority of the Bible, though they didn't understand it. There was a God. So what I would say is, I think what you see, I was talking to Craig Rochelle years ago. I did an interview with him on, I don't even remember what it was for, but, and you know, I asked him about his preaching and how it's sort of changed. I heard this very similar thing from James Emery White at Mecklenburg, you know, kind of known as secret churches, that they felt as over time they've kind of gone deeper in their teaching and preaching, largely because people are asking more significant questions, or something like, know, how to apply, not just how do I apply this to life, but why is this true, and what is truth, and what's meaning, and more.
It's, you know, several years ago, Reveal, with their survey, they came out with this spiritual continuum, right? Exploring Christ, growing in Christ, close to Christ, and Christ-centered. Do you, like, if we were just to use that as I guess a starting point for conversation, where would you then place in light of this shifting and the decreasing in nominalism and everything that we've been talking about? Which of the four do you think our pastors need to be preaching to and be aware of, like, in terms of an audience?
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah. So I the reveal categories are, I might quibble some with some of those, because, you know, I did a different research project, sure. So of course I quibble some with some of those. Lifeway research, you know, we like Lifeway research, and so I would say that that for me, when I'm teaching and preaching, I'm teaching and preaching for the interested Christian. You know, there's the disinterested Christian, like category I use. It's like, I don't want to listen, I want to learn. And I don't know that I can, you know, change my preaching to deal with the disinterested Christian. I'm not really preaching to the non-Christian, though I'm going to have on-ramps and sort of explanations for the non-Christian. So I'm teaching to the interested Christian. The interested Christian is not necessarily the fully in, totally committed. That's, you know, that's going to include the interested Christian, but it's more than, that's more than just that. Yeah. So interested Christian on up is my focus, with descriptions and on-ramps to people who are unchurched or people who are secular that may have questions. But at the end of the day, I'm sort of assuming that people who are listening to my message have an interest, and they're leaning in enough that I can lean back and help them to ultimately hear and respond. So even the person who comes to church who's not a Christian is an interested non-Christian. So I'm assuming that we're sort of partnering in this message, and this is not an evangelistic conversation, which starts at a different point.
That's fascinating. I love those categories, because even when I brought up the reveal ones, it was more or less just as a conversation point. But for me, it was just, okay, yeah, it's one of those things that's just close on my heart. And I know with the continual changes, even in this past year, and as we've been preaching more and more to a camera, it's just that question of, okay, are the shifts in our culture changing enough that this needs to affect our preaching and our ministry and the missiological issue? So why don't we just hit pause on that right now, and then on our next episode, 569, we can continue this conversation. All right, thanks again for listening in, and we'll catch you next time.